Corinthians chapter 13. Paul, in writing to the Corinthian church, writes, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there shall be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became an adult," everybody say an adult, "I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And how abideth faith, hope, charity, these three? But the greatest of these is charity." Father, Lord, we come before you this morning thanking you for your presence. Thanking you, Lord, for who you are. Thanking you that, God, that you set the perfect example of what love is when you sent your son Jesus to die for this human race. And God, I pray that today, Lord, that you would just speak to every heart that is here and those that are watching. That, God, that you would just touch us, and that we would be real with you, that we would be real with ourselves, that, God, that we would allow you to speak and to do to us what we need in this hour that we are living. And Father, touch your servant today. Let me be your mouthpiece, speaking the words you would have me to say, nothing more and nothing less. And God, we're going to praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to minister this morning for the next few minutes on the subject, a godly kind of love. A godly kind of love. Love, in the world's definition, is in a mess today. Reality television shows is helping it to get that way. My wife and myself, we pretty much have gotten to the age, I guess you could say, where that our two main channels that we watch is HGTV and the Magnolia Network. We can't fix the stuff, but we are watching and seeing how other people are fixing things. We watch all kinds of programs that involves flipping homes or buying your beachfront bargain. But it never fails that while we are watching, some of the craziest commercials comes on TV. One of those is advertising reality shows. The 90-day fiancé. What a mess. Programs that talks about people going to get married to somebody they've never met before. And our world is grabbing a hold of that kind of stuff. And our world is saying, that's what we need. No, we don't need that kind of mess. We look at Hollywood today, and Hollywood is trying to depict to people what love really is. When if you was to do a check on all of these people that are engaged, they've been married 5 or 6 times before. And the mess that they're in right now, they're still talking about, well, we're going to still get married because we love each other. I hear in society today, people walking up and saying, well, I love you. I don't mean to disrespect our young people today in society, but young people uses that word, I love you, real loosely. But we can't blame them because the adults are the one that has taught them that. When they say, I love you, and then if you go and look on Facebook, they've been in love with people, a different one about every month. And I'm not talking about young people now. And we look at that and we said, well, it's got to get better. The only way it can get better is if we get to a place where that we get a godly kind of love. I want everyone in this building to know, for those that are watching that has ever thought, does anybody really love me? I want to tell you today, there is a God that loves you so much that he sent his son to die just for you. He loves you so much that even before that you were born, he sent his son to die for you. What a love. That's a godly kind of love. When we look and we see people today that are looking at love, they are looking at the church and the time that we are living in, many times they're leaving still asking, well, what is the definitive answer for love? Well, let's look this morning about a godly kind of love. Number one, a godly love sometimes requires sacrifice. Hello this morning. Sometimes we have to get to the place that we say, you know, it's going to cost me something. You say, well, I don't believe love's that way. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believeth upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, there was no other answer to reconcile us back to God from what Adam and Eve had caused the separation. If we go to the book of Genesis, we see where that Adam and Eve walked with God in a society, in a world that was perfect. Only thing they had to do was enjoy all the good things of God, but the devil had to come and say, no, you can have more. And we all know the story, how that they went and took of the fruit and ate. And when they took that bite, it caused a separation between God and man. I'm not talking about gender there. But we see on a hill 2,000 years later that God sent his Son to reconcile man back to God. When he said, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost, it meant that man could be reconciled back to God because of a godly kind of love that required a sacrifice. There are times that it requires sacrificing ourselves. Let's look at what godly love is. Godly love is when sometimes you have to put yourself to the side in order to put forth a godly kind of love. Sometimes it means that you've got to do what sometimes you just don't want to do. How many is with me today? Sometimes it means that you've got to sacrifice your time to do godly kind of love. Amen? As a pastor, as a minister, there are times that I've been called out in the middle of the night on a cold winter's night. Temperatures below zero. Temperatures to the place where the wind was blowing and the wind chill was sometimes at zero or below. To go to somebody's house, to go to a hospital, to go to somebody's family that they have just lost a loved one. Let's be honest. Let's be transparent. How many of us this morning, including this pastor, would say, "Well, I would rather stay in a home or in the bed where it's nice and warm and comfortable than to get out in those elements of weather." Amen? That's what we think. But a godly kind of love says, put yourself and your feelings to the side. There's people that needs to be ministered to. Can I tell every one of us in this building today and those that are watching, there are people today that needs your godly kind of love to minister to them. God did not save us for us to be pew warmers. God called us to reach a world that is lost and hurting without him. We have an addiction in the world today. And the first thing we think about is, well, that's drug addiction or alcoholism. Well, there's even a worse addiction, and that is a low self-esteem in people's life. I really believe you're entitled to your opinion, but I believe a lot of times people with a low self-esteem, or can I just rephrase it this way, they don't love themselves, causes them to fall into drug addiction and alcoholism and other types of sin that puts you in bondage. You see, the Bible says in St. John 10:10, the thief cometh to kill, steal, and to destroy, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. I don't know why I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say it. You can't help other people if you don't love yourself. You've got to realize this morning who you are. You've got to realize that you, before you was formed in the womb of your mother, God loved you and had a plan for your life. And a godly kind of love means that we get to the place where that we sacrifice ourselves. We sacrifice our time. Oh, here we go. And we sacrifice our personal opinions. Amen? Sometimes we just need to be quiet and not say some things. Amen? Sometimes we don't need to tell people what we think about them Have you ever had people that you just really want to tell them what you thought about them? I know we don't have nobody in the house this day like that. That they just knew the right buttons to push. And I'm not talking about the elevator button. They knew just exactly how, let me put it in Greg Guy Kentucky terminology, they know how to ruffle your feathers. Has anybody ever had somebody that you just felt like that they thought their calling, not from God, but from man, was to push your buttons? That was their gift. I believe if you was to ask them, they would say, well, I've been put on this earth to push your buttons. But the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. God will use people, or the devil will use people. Well, God uses people too that are willing. But the devil will use people that are willing to push your buttons in the wrong way. And it gets us to the place that we want to express our personal opinion about them. To the place where we just simply says, I don't like you. Now let me stop and say this. This message is based upon Greg Guy this morning and his feelings. There are people that I just don't like. However, everybody say however. We have to love them. Amen? There's a difference there. Oh, I'm seeing some people here today that they're saying, but I'm not really going to say much because I don't know who's looking at me. And the pastor's looking at me, and I don't want them to know, yeah, that's exactly where I've been. There are some people that you can't like. They make your life miserable, and you say, well, I just can't like them. But you got to love them. Amen? If you go to the Word of God, you can interpret the Scriptures how you want to. But Jesus went to minister in different places, and there was times that there was always a crowd that was sent by CNN, that was sent by MSNBC, that was sent by the most secular news agencies that there were, to find something wrong with what he was doing. And do you know what Jesus done? I really believe, now this is my own interpretation of reading between the lines, I really believe that he got to the place he said, I can't minister because I don't like the way that these people are. He said, I never read that. Go back and read again. Because he said, y'all stay here. I don't have time to fool with you all and y'all's attitudes and your unbelief. I've got to go in there where there are people that believes in what I'm doing. Can I tell us something today? I'm going to shock some of us in this house and those that are watching. There is no way that God is ever going to be totally accepted in this world. Now, I'm really going to upset you. Some of you are wanting everybody to like you and to love you. It's not going to happen. There are going to be people that just dislikes you simply because of who you stand for. There are people in this house this morning saying, what in the world is wrong with Pastor Greg this morning? I guess I kind of had my eyes opened up to society. Because society does not like Christian people. I'll even go a step further. They don't even love Christian people. They love religion, but they don't love Christianity. There is a difference between religion and Christianity. Anything can become religious, but not everything can be Christianity. Christianity is about a Savior. Christianity is about a relationship. Christianity goes beyond the grave. Christianity goes beyond when people hurt you, how you respond. We may not like them. We may not like their attitude. We may not like their actions, but we got to love them with a godly kind of love. Even, everybody say even. Even when they look in your face and call you every name in the book and out of the book, the same way they done God. But you know what? God loved them so much, he still sent his Savior to die for them. God sent his son for the atheist. God sent his son for the Muslim. God sent his son for the Buddhist. God sent his son for every person. And he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God did not send his son for the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Church of God, the Assemblies of God, Pentecostal Holiness. God sent his son for the whole wide world. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a godly kind of love. When I think about the love of God, I have to stop many times, and as Michelle talked about when she was over there playing me, I have to stop and I have to say, Holy Spirit, give me a check. I'm not talking about a money check. I'm talking about give me a check. Where do I stand at, God? In this world that is crumbling and falling apart, when people are hurting, when people are in need, God, where do I really stand with having a godly kind of love? Number one, a godly kind of love requires sacrifice. Secondly, a godly love is not based on conditions. Can I tell you, God loves you no matter how much money or how little bit of money you have. God loves this world no matter how much money or how little money people has in this world. It is not based upon conditions. It's based upon a God that loves people. It's not based on the condition of material goods. It's not based on your position in secular society or the church society. I'm going to shock some of us today. No matter what position you hold in society today, you're just as important as the next person. But that person also is just as important as you are. Well, you don't understand who I am. Please don't take this wrong. I don't care. Only thing I care is that you go to heaven. I want everybody under the sound of my voice this Sunday morning in this house and those that are watching and those that will watch to go to heaven. I don't care what your title is in society. I don't care what your educational level is or lack of. I don't care how much money you've got or lack of. I love you because of a godly kind of love. And let's be honest about the world today. There are a lot of people that are supposedly loved, very well liked in people's circle of influence until they can't do anything for you. Amen? That's the way this world is. This world, some people will like you until you can't do anything else for them to help them. Take it how you want to on this saying. Some people you can't help until they want to help themselves. Amen? As a minister of the gospel, I can preach, I can teach, I can pray, I can fast for every individual under the sound of my voice and those that I will come in contact with wherever, whenever. But hear me today. Even Jesus himself can only do so much for a person, but it's left up to that individual to want to help themselves. I don't believe that, Pastor Greg. Well, then why isn't the whole world saved? People cannot be saved until they get to the place that they say, number one, they acknowledge they're lost. Number two, that they believe in Jesus Christ. Three, and they confess their sins. Amen? The ABCs of salvation. Acknowledge, believe, confess. Until an individual gets to the place where they want to go with a relationship with God deeper than it's ever been before, I don't care how many times that I lay hands on them, anoint them with oil, the whole church gathers around them. We do a Jericho march around them to pray that God would break the chains and the bondage until that individual in the center of that circle says, I want to help myself. It's never going to happen. You can't be saved if you don't want to be saved. You can't grow deeper in a relationship with God if you don't want to. Amen? Many times I've had people ask me in close to 40 years of ministry, how can I have a deeper relationship with God? I said, number one, what's your prayer life like? Well, I pray occasionally. Strike one. Alfred, I'm getting in baseball mode now. What's your devotional life like? Well, I go to church occasionally. Strike two. Do you listen to the voice of God? Well, does God speak? Strike three. You see, we've got to get to the place, folks, that we realize that a godly kind of love is not based on conditions. God wants to take every individual under the sound of my voice in this building this morning and those that are watching. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. You may say, well, I'm too young. God really doesn't understand me. God understands you better than what you think you do. Well, I'm just too old. You're never too old. But when we get to the place that we say, God, I need your godly kind of love. A God that will touch me no matter what the situation may be. A God that will move in my life. If the thing looks impossible, but God, because of your love, you'll see me through. Thirdly, the third godly love is, number one, sometimes requires sacrifice. Two, is not based on conditions. Three, we look it looks past failures. I'm going to tell everybody in this building this morning, I'm going to be transparent with you. I have failed God many, 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 many times. Well, shame on you, Pastor. You remember what I done last week? Put it out. Turn it back. Guess what? Where that finger is pointing, that individual has failed God many, 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 many times also. And for those that says, well, I have never failed God since I got saved, the devil has you. None of us is perfect. There's only been one person, say it's cliche or whatever you want to, that has ever made it to heaven perfect, and he was crucified. And he rose again. And today he's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for each and every one of us in this building. We all fall short of what God expects.
That's right.
However, everybody say however. God loves us. You see, when I first got saved, and please don't take this wrong what I'm going to say. When I first got saved, man, I had people that they put a belief in me that God was standing with a huge George Foster black bat. For you younger people, George Foster was a guy that hit a lot of home runs when I was a teenager for the Big Red Machine. No matter where you threw the ball, he'd hit a home run. And they had pretty much put in my mind that God was standing with a big ball bat to beat me down every time that I would fall short. I've used this illustration many years ago, but it's worth using again this morning. A person does not drown when they fall into quicksand. They fall into quicksand, and if they stretch forth their hand for help, and they grasp a hold of some type of object that will help pull them out of that, they won't drown. But if you throw, as John Wayne did many times, throw a rope to that person, it's left up to that individual to get a hold of the rope. You said, what in the world are you trying to tell us this morning? Can I tell you that sin is like quicksand? That when we fall into quicksand, that spiritual quicksand, we don't have to stay there? Well, John Wayne's dead, but God's alive. And God has provided a way for us to get out of the quicksand. What? The blood of Jesus. I preached it last Sunday. If we would just take a hold of that hand that Jesus was offering to Peter when Peter got his eyes off of God, when he was walking on the water and he began to sink, what did Peter say? Save me. You see, it's not about falling. It's about getting back up. We have all fallen short of what God wants us to be. But the thing is, we've got to save me. We have to put forth that hand and allow the Lord to take hold. Because let me tell us something here in this house. I don't care how much we think we are as a Christian and as a human being. I don't care how long we've been saved or how short of a period of time we've been saved. We cannot make it without holding to the hand of God. I love that song that talks about the unseen hand of God. Holding on to that unseen hand of God. How can we make it through life? How can we get to the place that we can help other people? How can we tell them that they can make it when the world is falling apart? Because we know about God's love. We know about that godly love that says you can't do it on your own. But we have a God. Young people, you have a God. Adults, you have a God. No matter how long you've been saved, you've got a God. I'm going to tell you something today. God never goes on a journey that he does not hear the cries of his people. God is a God that can never take a vacation that he will be on one side of the nation or on the world and we're somewhere else and he doesn't hear. When we begin to cry out, it's when, like when we were young parents and Aaron would be, we thought was right there beside of us, and the next thing you know, he had went around to the other aisle in the toy section, and we would look around and we would say, oh, where did he go? And all of a sudden we'd hear him say, Mom, Dad, I don't care how many people was around, we knew the voice of our child. Can I tell you that I've got a Father this morning that, oh, I don't care what kind of trouble I'm going through. Jesse, if I just simply said, Lord God, Heavenly Father, I'm here to tell you, friend, God steps to the portals of glory and He says, I hear the cry of my child calling on my name today. It's not just for this preacher. It's for everybody in this building and outside these walls. When He hears the cries of His people, God comes forward. Somebody give Him praise in this house. You and I can never go too far. That the love of God can't reach down and pull us up, purge us, wash us, and put our name back in the right way of walking with Him. What a God. What a godly kind of love. Fourthly, a godly love goes the extra mile. Let me give you some examples of love going the extra mile. Number one, the love shown by Christ on the cross. There's no better example than that. That has to be number one. Secondly, the love shown by most parents or guardians. Thirdly, the love shown by most families during times of Christ or crisis. Sometimes we've got to go the extra mile. There are times that we may not understand what in the world is going on. Anybody ever been there? I'm just going to be transparent with you again. There have been times that I've even questioned God. I don't understand. God, can you enlighten me? Can you tell me what in the world's going on? And you know what the words God gave me? Nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, anybody knows what I'm talking about? As the old saying goes, can I get a witness in the house today? That you're saying, Lord God, I need to hear from you. God, where are you? I need to hear from you. Nothing. What happened to God? What happened to him, Pastor Greg? Sometimes God, and I want somebody to hold on to this right here. Sometimes God's greatest works is not done in thunder and lightning and fireworks, but it's done in the stillness of the night. Sometimes when we don't understand, sometimes when we don't understand that valley that we are in, and I've said this before and it's worth repeating, maybe you weren't here, or maybe you had your mind on lunch afterwards and you didn't hear this, but let me re-say it again. The devil doesn't put you in valleys. Oh, got quiet. Well, I've always heard that it was. No. Where's the valley? That's the mountain that we were on. Now we're in the valley. Why are we in the valley? Well, you got to go from the mountain to the valley in order to get to the other mountain. Amen? Well, then why am I in the valley? Because it's in the valley that we find out who God really is. Oh, and I'm even going to go to this step. It's in the valley that we find out who we are. Oh, you see, it's so easy to shout on the mountain. It's easy to say, I've got faith and trust in my God. It's one thing to do the Pentecostal shake and buck and run the aisles, but it's in the valley. That each valley is different. The width of that valley is different than the other one. The deepness of that valley is different than the other one. Well, then what's the purpose? Because God wants to reveal to you that He's bigger than what you realized He was in the last valley you went through. God's building you up for your next great shout on the next mountaintop. Amen? I know that some people don't like the group, but they're one of my top groups on YouTube that I listen to. Peg McCamey. Anybody ever heard Peg McCamey? Son, if you can't get excited listening to Peg McCamey and her singing, you need to do something about the wood that your spiritual wood. Because it must have got wet. Because, friend, when she starts singing about God, she's singing about what she really believes in. You can tell. You can tell about the passion that somebody has on a certain subject by the way they talk about it and present it. Amen. That's right, Jace. What are you saying, Pastor? When she would sing that song that bought the bus or the jet, now they always went by bus, the God on the mountain is still the God in the valley. Amen? She knew what she was talking about. You know what? A few months ago when she took her last breath to be absent from this body, to be present with God, I really believe that she went into glory singing, "The God on the mountain is the God of the valley. I've made it through." David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me." Amen. What are you saying today? I'm talking about every one of us here, those that are watching, that there are going to be times you're going to go through the valleys. There are going to be times that you're going to say, "Lord God, where are you?" There are going to be times that you're going to have to go the extra mile to make it through. Can I say this morning? There are going to be times you don't feel like worshiping. There are going to be times you don't feel like lifting your hand and praising God. There are going to be times you don't have a shout anywhere upon you. But there comes a time we've got to go the extra mile. We've got to begin to prime that old well of worship. We've got to get to the place that we begin to work up a praise and a worship inside of us. Can I tell you, the Bible says we are as lively stones. I believe there comes a time that we've got to get to the place where we said, "Lord God, I don't understand it. I don't know how you're going to do it. God, I know I've been under that juniper tree. I know I've been saying, 'Lord God, it's me and me alone.' But God, somehow within me, I feel you're trying to tell me that I've got to prime that old worship pump and say, 'Lord God, I'm going to worship you even when I don't see the miracle, even when I don't know there's a miracle, even if I can't hear the sound of an abundance of rain, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to go the extra mile because you've got a godly kind of love.'" Somebody praise Him in the house today. Godly kind of love requires sacrifice. It's not based on conditions. It looks past failures. It goes the extra mile. And fourthly, a godly love never, ever ends. It requires work. And I'm going to be transparent again. Call this subtitle, "Transparency of Pastor Greg." Sometimes it requires a lot of prayer. The enemy comes. He wants to do everything he can in this last hour while the church is still here. He wants to put in every divisive move that he can to tear God's church apart. Somebody will come in. I don't like their type of worship. Just look at them. Look at how they're dressed. Look at their hair. Or lack of. And the enemy would try to take that. And try to plant that seed of the devil within people. And with the local congregations to get them to the place where they say, I've had it. I'm done. I'm quitting God. I'm quitting the church. I'm quitting everything about Christianity. Now, let me ask you something. Do we really think that's God? Then why do we grab a hold of it and try to run with it? Amen? Better yet, why do we even sit around and even try to listen to the enemy? I don't know how many fishermen I have in here. I learned to fish as a little boy sitting on the banks of the Clark County Fish and Game Club in Winchester. I had the best fishing pole there has ever been made. He said, yeah, right. Can I tell you what it cost? A dollar. What kind of fishing pole did you have, an old cane pole? Can I tell you I've caught more fish on a cane pole than I ever have on a rod and reel? How'd you do it? $1 cane pole, a piece of string, a hook, got to have my red and white bobber, and a can of red worms. And all the thing that we did, we just flip it out there, usually about 5-6 feet from the bank. And you know what? We just kept filling up a bucket of bluegill, crappie, and shell crackers. And people was out in the boats that had paid a lot of money for the rod and reels, and they'd holler, hey, you having any luck? Well, we wasn't going to tell them. We were having luck. Now you have to realize this is B.C. This is before Christ in my life. No, we ain't catching nothing. Haven't had no luck at all. We haven't either. They go on down. My grandpa said, you about ready? I said, yep, we're ready. We'd gather up that big old bucket of fish, and a lot of times, we'd even have a basket also of fish. We would pick it up. We'd go to the truck. We'd get in. We'd go home. We'd clean fish. And Mom and Papa and my grandma, even my brothers and sisters, enjoyed the fish. You didn't eat it? Nope. Too much of a waste of time. What do you mean? Too many bones you had to pick out. I'm like this. When I'm ready to eat, I don't want to have to work. Maybe that's the reason why I love cheeseburgers. Maybe that's the reason why that I love pizza. The only work there is to that is picking up a plate, putting it down into on that plate, sitting back in my office. Remember, my office is my recliner. That's the office, but I've got my office at home. And I sit in my office watching TV and eating and enjoying my meal. Amen? I was so glad for the day that God gave man modern technology, that you didn't have to pop popcorn in a pan anymore. You just put a bag in a microwave, push button number 4, and boom, you got popcorn. I could open up the refrigerator, grab me a 20-ounce cold L8, America's finest drink, sit down in my office, watch a ball game or my favorite movie or HGTV or Magnolia Network, and sit there and enjoy my big bowl of popcorn and my pop. Why? I didn't have to work for it. You're saying, you done lost it, done that a long time ago. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying there comes a time that we need to realize that a godly kind of love means we have to go the extra mile. Sometimes it means that we've got to do what we really don't want to do. Sometimes it means that we realize that no matter what it is, His love never ends. Amen. As Michelle slips to the music. A godly kind of love sometimes requires sacrifice, is not based on conditions, looks past failures, goes the extra mile, and never ends. I want to say to everybody in this house this morning, for those that are watching, you may feel like that this morning there is nobody that cares about you, that loves you, that you just seem like you're on the back of the desert all by yourself, but I'm here to tell you there is a God that loves you so much He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. There is a God this morning that is already in your tomorrow. Amen. There is a God this morning that is walking beside of you, in front of you, and behind you. He's got you covered. Amen. That the devil cannot destroy you because you belong to God. Well, then how is it and why is it that I go through all of this? It's preparing us. It's preparing us for the next level God wants to take us on. Amen. What did I say? Sometimes it requires hard work, extra work. Jeremiah. He's a football player. Josiah, you're a football player. Y'all lift weights, don't you? You just don't lift when the season's going on, do you? It's after the season ends. You're preparing yourself for the next season. Can I tell you, champions are not made when the season begins. Champions are made before the season begins. I don't like the team. Can't handle them. I do not like Alabama Crimson Tide. Don't holler Roll Tide around me. Amen. What are you talking about, Pastor? They prepared themselves in a weight room that in many people have said is better than what the pros have. But it's just not there to sit there and take up acreage of land. They are there working in season, out of season. Amen? Doesn't that sound familiar? Didn't God say be instant in season, out of season? It means that when you're going to go through some things that you're not going to understand, but He's simply saying, but you got to keep going. You got to keep pressing on. You got to keep pressing on. Friend, it's about over with. The race is about run. The trumpet of God's about to sound. God's church is about to go home. If you remember anything that your pastor has said to you, remember this morning. It's not a time to give up. It's not a time to throw in the towel. It's not a time to quit. But remember, there is a godly kind of love that will bring you through the darkest and the hardest and the roughest times of your life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for who You are. God, I thank You that, Lord, that You died on an old rugged cross. 2,000 years ago, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray today, Lord God, for every young person, every adult under the sound of my voice, for those that are watching live today, for those that will watch at a later time, God, I pray that no matter what they are going through, that they will remember that God loves them with a godly kind of love. And that, God, that You're speaking to Your church in this final hour for us to have a godly kind of love to other people. That, God, that we would do everything that we can to take as many people to heaven with us as possible. God, let us have the fruit of the Spirit. Let us have the gifts of the Spirit operating in our life. But God, before that we can have the gifts of the Spirit operating in our life, we've got to have the fruit of the Spirit operating in our life. And God, touch us, use us, bless every individual, bless every family that is represented here under the sound of my voice. And God, I pray today if there be anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, God, that this day they would cry out unto the Lord, Lord God, I'm a sinner, forgive me. Cleanse me from all of my sins. Forgive me of all of my sins and all of my failures. I accept you this day into my heart and into my life. God, for that one that has been saved, but Lord God, they're struggling. They have fallen short, and the enemy is saying, well, you've fallen, you might as well stay there. God doesn't love you. That's a lie from the pits of hell. For God, no matter if we fall, you're standing out there with a hand outstretched to us and take my hand and come back home. God, meet the needs of every individual, I pray. In Jesus' name. These altars are open for every individual, every young person, every adult to come and spend some time in these altars seeking the face of God. These front chairs are open. Come and spend some time with God. The way that we get through hard times is to prepare before the hard times come. What are you talking about? Spending time on your knees before God, spending time in the Word, spending time in church. God prepares us for the next storm or battle that is going to come. Will you come and spend some time with the Lord this morning?